entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast, episode 129. I'm Ruben.
And I'm Leighton. And it is Thursday, March 17th, 2016. Happy St. Patrick's Day!
Leighton, if you were telling a listener who's listening for the first time what the French press is about, what would you tell them in two or fewer sentences?
Two or fewer sentences? Well, it looks like I already used them up. All right, okay. Let me think. I would say, come listen to the most amazing podcast ever. It's about me and my cousin talking about things that happen to us every day.
And it's the kind of conversation that you would have at a coffee shop, or at least around coffee, which is the reason it's called the French Press Podcast.
Yep.
Sadly enough, I haven't had a French press coffee in months. Maybe even more than 6 months.
Well, I just had some French press coffee last week in Poland.
All right. I do want to get to Poland. If you are a regular listener, you know that Leighton was on his mission trip to Poland. But before that, Leighton, you took a visit to a Mennonite Bible school, Maranatha Mennonite Bible School. And can you tell us the reason for that and just some of the highlights of that trip?
Okay. Well, actually, we went to two Bible schools. We went to Eleanor Bible Institute in southern Indiana. And then we went to Maranatha Bible School. The reason for that trip was it was a PR trip on behalf of Hillcrest, and so it was really a lot of responsibility to represent an organization like Hillcrest.
And is this
all these young peoples?
Is this a responsibility that you volunteered for, or that you campaigned to do or be a part of, or did it just happen because you have seniority at Hillcrest, or that you're just such a good public speaker?
I think it's because, I'd like to think that it's because I'm such a good public speaker. But the real reason, I mean, I never really asked, the pastor here, Leonard, he asked me to go, and he didn't say why he chose me. He just asked me, and I didn't want to ask him why he chose me. I just accepted the responsibility for what it was.
All right, so continue on. You're doing a PR trip, stopping in at two different Bible schools. First one was Eleanor in southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, Leonard did most of the talking. It was actually, I wasn't the only person, the only BSer to go on that PR trip. It was me and then one other guy and then two girls, two VS girls, and Leonard. So Leonard did most of the talking. He did his presentation, his PowerPoint, and then he had each of us get up and kind of say our experience so far at Hillcrest.
So would it be fair to say that Leonard kind of talks about what Hillcrest is, why it would be good to go, why it's important to help people that are old and in their retirement age, and then he brings up you and the two ladies to show that, you know, these are normal guys and girls. They're not just a bunch of weirdos at Hillcrest. Is that fair to say?
Pretty much, yeah. But the sad thing is we get up there and then we just totally shatter his presentation by proving that we are just weirdos. Ah, sad.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't too bad.
It wasn't.
You obviously went on to a second school then.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. So, I the first time, when we stopped at EBI, We just kind of, after Leonard gave his presentation, we just, all four of us got up there and each took a turn saying our testimony. But then when we got to Maranatha, I was kind of joking around and I was like, you know what, Leonard? We should, like, me and Tyler, that was the guy that was with me on the trip. I was like, me and Tyler should do, like, kind of a reenactment of, like, some of our residents and kind of give everyone a feel of, you know, how taking care of a resident really is. And I was just kind of being silly. You know me. You know how silly I am.
But did he go for it?
And he totally, like, just bit the bait. I mean, he was like, yeah, do it. That's a great idea.
So, so please tell me that you did do this.
We did.
Oh, good. Is there any video of this, or do you have to reenact it again for us?
There's no video. Might have to reenact it. And, like, at first, me and Tyler were, like, really freaking out. Like, oh, man, like, this is going to be bad. Like, we're going to ruin the reputation of Hillcrest. We don't know what we're doing. We haven't practiced at all. And this was just, like, this whole idea came about, like, an hour or two before we were, like, about to go up and talk. Like, oh, man, what are we going to do? So, we didn't practice at all. But I had Tyler act like two of the different two residents that we take care of, and I was the CNA that's feeding him at a table. And man, I must say it went quite well, especially for not practicing at all.
So how was Tyler, how did he act like a resident?
Well, there's one resident that we have that eats like really, really slow. And like sometimes he'll sit at the table and he'll like sit at the table and like he'll like not be finished for an hour and a half just eating. Like it takes him so long to eat. He takes such small, slow bites. So sometimes we'll help feed him.
Okay.
Just because he takes so long.
And is he slow in eating because is there constant movement or is it a long delay between bites?
There's a long delay between bites.
So what do you do to speed that up?
You just give him a bite. And like he'll tell you like if, you know, he's being tired of being fed, and then, you know, we'll stop. But, you know, as long as he's taking bites, we'll keep feeding him if he wants it. I don't know. But anyways, and then there's also another resident that kind of walks around, and he needs to be guided to the table and everything. He kind of acted like him. But it was, oh, man.
So
we had the crowd laughing. We had the crowd crying. They were moved. Ugh.
So this second resident, he can see fine and walk, but he just doesn't always know where he's going?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Did you pick up any new volunteers at either one of the places?
There was definite interest at both places. There were at least like one or two people at both places that seemed very interested. Oh, one thing that was really interesting was right when we pulled up to Maranatha, I get out of the van that we're traveling in, and there's a van that pulled up right behind us that's full of students, and I get out of the van, step out, and I look to my left. And then I look to my right, and when I look to my right, I see the van that had pulled up behind us. And then there's a dude that sticks his head out the window, and he's like, hey, Are you Leighton Yoder? Yeah. Dude, biggest French press fan ever.
Did you ever find out who he was?
Yeah. It turns out that it is your... Oh, he would be your brother-in-law's cousin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dana or Eric?
Dana.
Okay. Very good. Hey, stuff like that makes us feel good because sometimes it feels like we're speaking into a mirror. We see ourselves, yeah. But we don't always see anyone beyond that.
Exactly. It was great. It was great. And then a little bit later, like after we gave the presentation and everything, we were playing volleyball with all of the Maranathians. And we, I was mingling with the guys. And one of them was Dana's cousin. And then he asked to have a picture with me to show his siblings. He's just so proud.
So don't you feel like a mini celeb?
No, not really. But, I mean, it made me feel really good that I could just make someone's day. You know, I could bring joy to someone. That felt really good. And then, oh, there was one other thing. Oh, also right before, we left Maranatha, it is a custom. Apparently there is a big shelf or a series of shelves, almost like a grid that is, right outside of the guy's dorm. And apparently they're not allowed to have their phones in the dorm. They have to keep them out there.
Okay.
I think. They have all their phones out there in the hall. And before we left, we took each one of their phones. Thankfully, you can get to their camera without unlocking their phones. And the whole PR team from Hillcrest took a bunch of selfies on each of their phones. So that makes me really, really happy.
Very good.
We left our mark.
Leighton, I have to ask you, I know you've been working on a podcast for Hillcrest. Did you at all talk about that at either of these places?
No, I didn't.
And I guess, give us an update. What is the latest on that, on the podcast?
They are finished, or there are some that are finished, and they are ready to be up. They just haven't been uploaded yet.
So they have been, they've been listened to, and they have been approved?
They've been approved, yes.
Okay.
They just need to be uploaded.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, within the next day or two, I mean, they could be up there and ready to be listened.
Okay, your audio is going a little wonky, but I did understand that.
Oh, sorry. Well, it doesn't help that I'm not speaking, like, extremely clearly. Because, you see, Ruben, in Poland right now, well, what time are we recording this?
It's 5:30 p.m. right now, Eastern Time.
Okay, well, here where I am, 4:30.
Yeah, now we totally lost you. It sounds like you walked into water.
Am I walking in water?
Yes, are you walking in water?
Yes. Ruben, it's flooding. It's flooding here in Arkansas.
We'll cut the connection and then we'll call you back.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, we're back again. Okay.
Am I sounding better?
You are sounding better.
Yeah.
You were starting to say you had asked what time it was and then saying something about over in Poland, ..
Over in Poland right now, it would be... I think like at least 10:30, 11 o'clock, somewhere in there. Yeah, I think 10:30 at night. It's always like really me that it feels like it's time to go to sleep, even though the sun is clearly out here in Arkansas.
All right, the sun is clearly out in Arkansas, and the audio still sounds horrible. But we'll give it a minute or so.
Yeah, let it, just give it some time to establish connection.
All right. Well, hey, since it is St. Patrick's Day, I wanted to ask you guys a question. I'm sure you've often heard St. Patrick's Day referred to as St. Patty's, correct?
Yes.
Now, I always spelled St. Patty's a certain way and found out in the last day that I had always been spelling it incorrectly. So I want to ask you guys, Theodore's here as well, our producer, what is the correct way to spell Patty's, as in St. Patty's? And the two spellings are P-A-D-D-Y-S or P-A-T-T-Y-S. So is it two D's or is it two T's?
T's.
I would have said T's as well.
And that's what I would have said as well, because Patrick has a T in it. However, I did some searching online, and if you would say Patty's over in Ireland, and you would spell it with two T's, they would be seeing that as the abbreviation or the short form of Patricia. Whereas Patty's is a variation of padre, father. So if you're saying St. Patty's, as in St. Patrick's Day, you do want to spell it with two D's instead of two T's, because the T's would be referring to Patricia.
Oh, my. Well, I'm so glad I know how to abbreviate St. Patty's Day now.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that one.
All right. Layton, I had sent you and Theodore and another friend, Kyle, a book called Will It Fly? And I just wanted to say you're welcome for sending it to you.
I want to say you suck.
This is the text I got from Layton. I sent it last week while Layton was in Poland. And then I get this text from Layton. I think it was either earlier today or maybe it was yesterday.
It was late last night.
Late last night. He said, did you send me a stupid self-help book? And I started sending a reply saying, this book is about small online businesses, or it wouldn't even have to be online, but a small business and helping you ask the right questions to see if it is a good idea. Will it fly? Will your idea work and be profitable? And then instead of writing all that out, I just replied with, you're welcome. But why would I send it to you?
Why would you do this?
I would send it to you because one of your ambitions in life is to be a photographer of nature, not of people, but of nature and of, I'm not sure what the word is, but just maybe buildings, but things out there, not people, not portraits. And so, and you want to make a business out of this is your goal. And so I thought this book would help you see if it is a viable business. And I also sent it to Kyle because he has an idea for a garden tea company. And I'm reading it as well because I also have ideas for different small businesses. And I gave it to Theodore too because he also likes to think about, you know, different business ideas and has hobbies that could be profitable. So that's why I sent it to you. I do hope you read it. And the writer has started several different online businesses that have been successful. And he's also had some that failed. So he does have experience.
Ruben, I'm not going to let a book tell me, like, whether or not I have a good idea.
What is your criteria then?
My criteria is whether or not, like, it works.
Hold on. What is your criteria without doing it and then seeing if it fails or works?
Well, the only way you can really know is by doing it.
That's true, but getting more information and asking more questions and getting different input will help guide your decisions.
Yeah. Well, then I would just read a business book, like a book, like how to manage your business, not is your idea a good idea? Oh, my word.
I haven't read it yet, but I am going to read it.
I haven't read it yet. Okay, good. Sounds good.
I am filled with so much grace, Layton. It's unbelievable.
Mm. And I am steadily running out of it.
All right. So, here's another thing. I was talking to one of my relatives about his shower routine, and he was absolutely astonished at something I did in the process of showering. And so I want to see if you guys have the same reaction to it. So when I'm taking a shower, towards the end of it, hot water, I will turn my head sideways trying to get water in my ear just to help melt and rinse out the wax and maybe any loose objects in there. He was absolutely horrified and went on to say that his brother was so paranoid about getting water in his ear that he would wear earplugs while going in his shower or while taking a shower.
Wow.
So do you have that same, like, would you never ever turn your head sideways to try to get water in your ear?
I wouldn't, you mean, like, I mean, I might-ish, but, like, if I want to really clean out my ears, what I like to do is you take your palm and you get your palm wet, and you kind of, you know, cup it so that it's kind of full of water, because you know how it kind of, it's slightly, you know, there's a dip in the center of your palm.
I understand.
Okay, and you take that, and you kind of put it up against your ear, and then you can kind of, like, push your palm against your ear, and then that will force water into it. Okay. I'm dead serious.
I believe you, and that sounds like a good idea to me, but this other person would absolutely be horrified because of something called
swimmer's ear.
Swimmer's ear.
Let me tell you about this. Ruben, have you ever had swimmer's ear?
I do recall one time when the inner part of my ear, it felt like the eardrum did hurt and ached. But it was very, it only happened once, and it didn't last for a long time.
Layton, did you ever have swimmer's ear?
I have had swimmer's ear several times in my lifetime.
Okay, how would you explain the pain, like on a scale from 1 to 10?
Oh, man. It is quite discomforting. Like, it disables you from doing anything except writhe around on the couch in pain. So I would give it a solid 6.5.
Oh, I would have given it more than that, but okay.
So if you have experienced this multiple times, and yet you're still comfortable forcing water into your ear.
Yeah. Because I actually only got swimmer's ear when I went swimming. Those are the only times. I never got swimmer's ear from the shower.
Does anyone know why is swimmer's ear a thing? When does it happen and why does it hurt?
It's when you get an infection in your ear.
And
I don't know.
It must be like infected some kind of dirty water, not just the water.
Not necessarily.
No.
Because think it's also if maybe you have a really tiny
eardrum
canal.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe really big. I don't know, one or the other. It affects more cuz our cousin had to go get surgery because he would get it every time he'd go swimming. And he had to go get surgery to do something. I think open it up more. So, yeah.
I actually have very small ear canals. I have very small ears in general. And so I think it's more common for people with smaller ears.
You mean larger ears?
No, smaller ears.
So you're saying you're more susceptible.
Right.
Because it wouldn't come back out then.
Okay.
Exactly. It's an infection of the outer ear canal.
Okay.
More than 200,000 cases per year in the U.S.
So people actually go to the doctor to get taken care of.
It is so bad. And it's not just the pain. It's like what Layton said. You cannot do anything else. You can't think of anything else. It's not like a sore on your finger that you can put salve on. It is constantly there.
Yeah.
All right,
exactly.
Well, I'm glad that I know more about that now. All right, so Layton, tell us about Poland.
It's amazing.
I've been kind of teasing you, saying this is like a glorified, in quotes, mission trip. And I've been kind of teasing you that it's more of a vacation than a working mission trip.
Right.
So, tell us a little bit about what you did. And be honest as far as, I hope you had fun. I hope everyone has fun when they go on a mission trip. But you're supposed to feel bad, I think, if you have too much fun on a mission trip. So tell us how much fun you had and how much work you did.
All right.
And in specifics, what you did.
Okay. I first need to state, any Hillcresters that listen to this, you should always go into the mission trip, into your mission trip, expecting to work and to get things done. Do not think of it as a vacation, for sure. And that's exactly what we did. We expected to work and to have very few sightseeing days while we were there in Poland. That is what we were thinking when we went into it. What actually happened was we did do some ministry, but I am determined that our main ministry, our main reason for going over there, was just for the simple act of refreshing the VSers that are already there at the mission, or at the school that's teaching English. So that consisted of a lot of hanging out and sightseeing with the VSers that are there.
So tell us a little bit, this ministry that you visited, you said it's teaching English?
Yes, it's a school called Gateway to English.
And they have started. They have students that are like in first grade, or is it for adults?
They have students of all ages. I think they said that they're, I think like their youngest student might be like 10, might be even younger. But I think their oldest student is 71.
Wow.
Or 78. I don't know. But yeah, their students vary quite a bit. And yeah, they just, I mean, their main goal is, in the Polish culture, it's very difficult to really get across. It's very difficult to really reach them without having a relationship with them first. You need to establish a relationship with them first.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a very not like cold people, but I mean, they're very jaded, I think is the best way to put it. I don't know. They're very closed. And they like what they like. And I don't know, especially the older people, they're very, they've seen a lot of hard stuff, especially with World War II. World War II and communism has definitely affected their culture quite a bit. And also Catholicism. Lots and lots of Catholics over there in Poland. So all those things combined, it makes for a very sort of solemn culture, I think is the best way to put it.
So you were kind of there to refresh and help the teachers of English at this school. How many teachers do they have there? I mean, are we talking about like 3 or 4, or is it 10, 15, 20?
I think like 6.
Okay.
I think there's 6 teachers there total. Some of the, like, 4 of those are single staff, and there's 2 men, including the one person that started it. He teaches, and then I think there's 1 other married man that has his family there that also teaches sometimes. I think so.
And so the Polish people, do half of them speak basic English?
Well, a lot of the teenagers had know quite a bit of English. or like they know a lot of the words, but they're not very good at putting
sentence
them
structure.
Together to speak it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So that's half that's probably three quarters of the teaching right there. Just getting them to exercise their English and practice it, you know, to provide a safe place where they can practice forming sentences and getting their sentence structure down pat.
Very good. So, okay, Layton, you said that you would hang out quite a bit with the teachers. What would you do when you guys were hanging out?
Okay, well, maybe it would be easier to say, kind of give the general itinerary.
Sure.
That we had. So, like, the first day, we flew in on a Thursday, and then we got there around, I don't know, we flew into Warsaw around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when we got to Warsaw. And then we spent the rest of the afternoon kind of in Warsaw. We went to an old building that I think Adolf Hitler built. He said it was a gift to Poland, but in actuality, it was kind of like a monument to himself. And it's like one of the oldest buildings in Warsaw. But so it's like people don't like it because it represents communism. But it is a really old building and it does look really cool. So there's a lot of back and forth about that. But we went all the way to the top of that thing. And you can get like a whole view of the city of Warsaw. It's really, really neat.
Did you post any pictures of that onto your Instagram?
No, I have so many pictures, Ruben. Oh, my Instagram is gonna have Poland pictures for days. Oh.
Well, you did post a few, and I saw at least two or three.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Layton, one question before you go on with your itinerary. You said that the people have been affected by World War II and by communism. Is Poland currently a communist country?
No, they're very, very anti-communistic.
Okay.
They are very capitalistic. In fact, like along the countrysides, you see, I don't know, they have signs of a very upcoming economy. You see like the products that they're selling, and it is good quality stuff. Everyone, a lot of small businesses, a lot of startups, and little stores, you know, handmade stuff, whatever. It's good quality stuff, but you can tell that it's as far as their marketing goes, like it's
1990s marketing.
Yeah, it's like flashy signs, just anything to get your attention.
Okay.
And that's fine. It's just not as developed as what America would have it. And it was actually kind of refreshing. Like, it's just like, yeah, they'll do anything just to get your attention. Like any kind of lots of LED flashing signs and stuff like that. But it was cool. So, I mean, a lot of people would agree, a lot of economists would agree that Poland is the next kind of booming economy, or one of the fastest growing economies in the world right now.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, go ahead. You stopped in at Poland, or at Warsaw.
Yeah, stopped in at Poland.
Did you stay in Warsaw? Is that where the ministry was?
No, the ministry is actually in a smaller town, a cute town though, called Minsk, and that is about 45 minutes south of Warsaw.
Okay, I'm looking at a map right now, and Warsaw is kind of in the eastern third of the country, and about right in the center as far as north and south goes. So you were close to Warsaw though the whole time.
Not the whole time.
All right, well,
no.
Okay. Continue on. Where what else did you do and where else did you go?
Okay, so first day, spent the afternoon in Warsaw. The next day, we spent the majority of the day touring Minsk.
No one will fact check you on the day.
Everyone's gonna fact check. All right. Well, okay then. One of the days we went back to Warsaw. Spent the whole day in Warsaw again. Except this time we visited what's called the Uprising Museum. It's a very interesting museum about how there was a small militia of people that kind of revolted against the Nazi regime and actually managed to hold Warsaw. Or at least a section of Warsaw, for a whole month until Hitler decided to just level the whole place. And, it's kind of sad. But even now, the symbol for the that whole revolt, that rebellion, it's a P, or imagine a W, but out of the middle stem of the W comes up a P, so it's a PW. Kind of logo. If you look,
If you Google Warsaw Uprising and then look under images, you will see it under symbol.
Yes. Very cool. Very cool story. Just a handful of people, of just citizens. They weren't trained at all. They weren't military, but anyways, whatever. So we went, saw that museum about that whole revolt. And then we went to Old Town, or what's called Old Town, which is just a section of the city that after World War II is over, you know, there were hardly any buildings left standing after World War II. And so everything was pretty much modernized then, except for this small section of Warsaw called Old Town, and they built it to kind of replicate how Warsaw was before World War II. So it's kind of neat. It's full of little shops and little restaurants and coffee shops, stuff like that. And it just looks really, really cool. And then we had church with them the next day and just kind of hung out with their youth. And then the next day, the next 2 days, we helped teach English. And then after that, we actually did a little bit of traveling. We went up to a town called Gdańsk, which is in the north part of Poland. And we were there for 2 days. We stayed at an old manor that was owned by a Pentecostal church. And they were kind of restoring the manor and also the stables. They were turning the stables into what was going to be their auditorium. And they were also going to restore the mansion that we actually stayed in. That was really, really neat. Oh, lots of cool pictures there. And then also while we were there in Gdańsk, there's so many stories. Should I go into stories or should I keep on just lightly going through where we were?
No, stop telling us where you were, because it really doesn't paint a picture as well as a picture would. Or as well as a story of what happened there. So pick out maybe like two stories and then tell us about those stories.
Okay, well, probably the coolest thing. Oh, man. So while in Gdańsk, there's also an old town there, a part of the city that they restored to make look like how it was before World War II. Because most of Poland just got wrecked by the Nazis. Like, yeah, Germany came down hard on them. So we also visited Old Town in Gdańsk, and we saw a Mennonite church that was started like way back in the 1600s. That's kind of cool.
Wow, is it still going?
I mean, the building is still original, but it is now owned by Protestants, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, we got to see that. And then also there's an old restaurant, which I don't think was started by Mennonites, but there was a Mennonite that made a certain kind of vodka called Goat Vassel.
Hold on, say that again.
Goldwasser.
Goldwater.
Yeah, Goldwater.
Okay.
And I think they had flakes of gold in his vodka. You can look it up, but I believe that's what it was called.
So that's still, it's now, still being made. I mean, it's still a product.
I mean, you can buy a vial of this stuff, yeah. For like $40. Actually, no, wait. That was 40 zloty. Oh, that's the name of the currency that they have over in Poland. It's called zloty. I'm trying to think how much it was. It was approximately $6, I think. $6 to buy a vial of this stuff.
But
really nice restaurant.
But what I mean, though, is that still a vodka that is made in Poland today, or is it more like a souvenir item?
It's more of a souvenir item.
Yeah, okay.
But based off of that, somebody started a restaurant also called Goldwasser, and it is a super, super nice restaurant. There have been past presidents that have eaten at this restaurant. I think maybe one of the popes ate at this restaurant. There have been some celebrities that have eaten at this restaurant, and we also had the privilege of eating there as well. Oh, very, very good food. And just overall, they just like insanely classy service, like the kind that they will pull out your chair, they will push it in for you, they will, oh man, yeah, just a very, very classy restaurant. Very cool. And then that night after we ate at this restaurant, there was a group of us that went back to the mansion just to go to sleep. But some of us were still kind of awake, and so we stayed in Old Town for a little bit longer, and decided that we'll just walk back to the mansion from Old Town. And over there, we happened to meet a monk, Brother Mark, or in Polish, they would say Mark as a Marek. Anyway, so we just ran into this monk, kind of struck up a conversation, and started talking to him. He spoke English pretty good, and so he asked about some of our beliefs. We asked some about his. We asked about his story, his testimony, why he became Catholic, what led him to be a monk, and all this stuff. And then he asked us, and we ended up talking with him and just walking around Old Town in Gdańsk for like 2 hours. Just really, really cool.
Wow.
And he asked us how long we were going to stay in Gdańsk, and it's like, oh, we're leaving the next day to go all the way to the south part of Poland, to a town called Krakow. And he's like, oh, that's the monastery where he's from. That's where his monastery is located.
No way.
He just was up there in Gdańsk to teach kind of a children's Bible school for 5 days. That's why he was up there. And he was so bummed out because he said that he would love to show us around his monastery there in Krakow. And so like, oh yeah, it would be really cool. But we ended up parting ways. The next day we're at the train station waiting for our train to take us all the way to the southern part of Poland. And who but Brother Mark is there to greet us. And he gives us one of the numbers of one of the other monks that he is studying with down in Krakow. He said, call this number and he will give you a tour of the monastery.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
We're like, oh, this is really neat. So we take the train all the way down. It was a 6-hour train ride all the way down to Krakow. And Krakow is one of the oldest cities in Poland. And it actually has, I think, the oldest medieval market in Europe. It's a very, very old town.
So what makes a market a medieval market?
Well, frankly, I don't know. But it's medieval, and it's a market, and it's old. So there you go.
Did you contact this other monk and take a tour of the monastery?
I did. I called the number, and it was Brother Peter, is his name, and I called him up, And he picks up the phone and says, "Hello, who is this?" And I was like, "Is this Brother Peter?" And he's like, "Yes, it is." I was like, "Okay, well, this is kind of a long story, but..." And then he's like, "Okay, wait, I think I know who this is. Did Brother Mark give you my number?" And I said, "Yes." I was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "Oh, good. That means I don't have to go through the whole rigmarole of explaining who we are and what we're doing." And he said, "Meet me at 9:45 at the monastery." And then I kind of asked him for directions, and I had no idea what he was talking about. But thankfully, we had Dervin. He's one of the single volunteers that works at the school. He was with us, and he said that he knew what monastery he was talking about. So I was like, "Oh, thank goodness." So we're good. The next day, the next morning, we get up. We go to this monastery. Brother Peter greets us, and he proceeds to go through this massive cathedral and just explains just some of the different things, just some of the different statues, some of the different saints, some of the things like even the tiniest thing like vine work. Sometimes they have leaves carved into the stone, what they all represent, what they all mean. Because everything, like, I often think that, oh, yeah, cathedrals, they're just, I mean, all the different little statues and intricate carvings and the gold, it's all for decoration, but it's not. It all has, everything that you see means something to them. It represents something. It's a symbol of something to them. So it's cool to hear why it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeded to tell us some of the different things that they do every morning. And then one of the other monks, Brother Gregory, he also helped give us a tour. And he was actually one of the more senior monks. He was actually going to be ordained as a full priest. No, wait, no, sorry. Half a priest the very next week.
Now, what's the difference between a full priest and a half priest?
We asked that exact question, and he didn't go into too much detail, but he said you always get ordained as half a priest, and you take on some of the responsibilities of a priest, but you're just not allowed to fulfill the full role of a priest. There's just certain things that you can't do yet. And it's a full another year, I believe, until you get your full priesthood.
So both Brother Peter and Brother Mark, they're younger guys, like in their 20s, early 30s?
Yeah, Brother Mark was 27, and he had been a monk for 8 years already at that point.
Wow.
And he had already actually received his half-priest ordination.
Okay. And it's kind of funny. This guy's name is Peter. That guy's name is Mark. Do they change their name to, either a saint or one of the apostles when they become a monk? Or was that their birth name?
I think that was just their birth name. Because there was also Brother Gregory. And I don't think that Saint Gregory is a thing.
Yeah, not that I know of.
And they were so funny. Oh, man. Like, they were, like, making priest jokes and everything. Oh, it was great.
I mean, like, two priests walk into a bar, that kind of a joke?
Not quite. But they were making jokes about how, okay, so, like, they showed us the mess hall where they eat every day. And he said that once you become ordained, even as half a priest, you no longer have to work in the kitchen, and you no longer have to serve meals to the rest of the priests. Because the monks always serve the meals. They bring out the food to the priests that are already ordained. And he said that, yes, like, as soon as you become a priest, you can, if you imagine, their arms are out open. They are upturned and open. And that's how you are as a monk, because you are there to serve. But then when you become a priest, you turn over your hands and... They're still open, but you turn them over, and then he put his hands out on the table, and there was a cup on the table, and he kind of tried to use the back of his hands to pick up a cup, and he said, "Yes, yes, come help me. I can't lift this. Monk, come over here and help me lift this." It's so funny, and he was just kind of like pathetically trying to lift up a cup.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so funny. Oh, and then also, he said that when you get ordained, they use holy oil, and they do the symbol of the cross. They smear the symbol of the cross with this holy oil on both hands. So if you match first stroke, no more. Then with the second stroke on your first hand.
Okay, Layton, go back to the first stroke. The audio is cutting out again.
Oh, sorry. So the first stroke, doing like the upright stem of the cross on your palm. The priest says no more, and then cross the cross. No more work. Then switch over to the other hand. To the first stem, four, and then finish the cross on your other hand, you. So no more work for you. and that's, jokes. Oh, and then also.
Okay, your audio is still really bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll try. Do you want to finish the story, or should we save the rest of it for next time? Okay, we'll call you back.
Hello.
Yeah. Go again.
Are we good?
There we go. We're good.
Okay. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Okay. So they showed us the big church part, and then they showed us some of the parts where they just kind of do their studying and showed us. That's all they eat, and also showed their music practice room. That was really cool. We actually got to hear a little bit of some monk chants. It sounded amazing. Like some of the monks were practicing their chants, and it just sounded awesome. So when
Layton, the audio it's still it goes in and out too much.
No. Okay. Well, then, pretty much they gave us a tour of the place, and it was really, really, really cool, and they were really nice.
Okay. Theodore, do you have a? I know what it means, but where is it from? Do you have a phrase for us?
Yes, I do.
All right, we're gonna try to play this, and Layton, stay on, and hopefully the audio will kind of sort itself out, but you won't have to be doing all the talking. So I think it'll work out in spurts.
Okay.
So. This segment, we have gone back and forth on names a little bit, but basically it's a phrase that Theodore has that all of us know. Listeners, you know what it means, but we don't always know where it's from or what its original meaning or possible even intent was. So this segment is called, I Know What It Means, But Where Is It From? So Theodore, what is our phrase?
Okay, it is caught red-handed.
Caught red-handed. Last week we had Mr. Dave on the podcast, and he gave his definition of the word. And so, due to the audio problems, I think we all know what it means. But in my opinion, it means you're caught doing something, and it's obvious that you're the culprit, and there's no way you can wiggle your way out of it. So, for example, if a child would be in the kitchen stealing cookies, and the parent walks in. She caught him with the cookie in his hand. It's obvious that he took cookies out of the jar when he wasn't supposed to, and there's no way to wiggle his way out of it.
Yep, that's true. That's right.
So where does it come from, Theodore?
It comes from, it says, an old English law that ordered any person to be punished for butchering an animal that wasn't his own. And the only way the person could be convicted is if he was caught with the animal's blood still on his hands.
Whoa. That is interesting. Caught red-handed. Very good. I like it. Layton, you should listen to last week's episode, because last week we actually had two. Mr. Dave had one, too. And both were really good. Mr. Dave's was Bite the Bullet, where that comes from. And then Theodore's was Turning a Blind Eye. And both are really interesting, so you should definitely go back and check that out. All right.
I should.
We've gone on for about an hour, so it is time to wrap.
Has it already been an hour?
It has. So it's time to wrap this podcast up. It has been good, Leighton, to finally get you back on the podcast. It's been a while. And
it's good to be back.
Yeah. We'll be hanging out in about a week and a half. I'm going to be going visiting Leighton, and so that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. And I am planning.
No, Ruben, it's not a week and a half. It's just like a week and a day.
You're right. It's like, yeah, you're right. A week and a day. All right, dude. Well, thank you for taking the time for us, and I guess we'll still plan on doing the podcast next Thursday as well. And okay. If for some reason it doesn't work out, just let us know. And
I probably won't.
I might need to do a little bit of. We might need to switch up the schedule a little bit because I am starting something with our Boys and Girls Club. We're going to start a homework club, and that's going to be on Thursday afternoon. So either we'll need to push back the time to make it a little bit later in the evening or possibly moving it to another day of the week. But that's something we can get figured out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And if you enjoy the podcast, please let us know. Send us a message or a tweet. A message on Facebook, and if you have something to discuss or a question for Leighton about his Poland visit or about his time at Hillcrest, you can also just send a message on Facebook, French Press Podcast Facebook page, and he'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Leighton and Theodore, and we'll see you guys next week. I forgot this. We need a word of the week from Leighton.
Oh. Well, here's the thing. I'm caught. I have a dilemma because I could either say, you know, a word that is related to like something that was mentioned in the podcast, or I could say a Polish word. Which one would you like?
I would like the Polish word.
Okay, the Polish word is Well, oh dear. Well, it's actually not a Polish word. It's a Polish phrase called it's a schmacznego.
And what does that mean?
It means bon appetit or dig in.
All right.
You always say it when food is presented to someone and you're ready for them to start eating.
Schmacznego.
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 Right.
All right. Very good. Schmacznego to you. And to everyone else.
Yep.